Now, the typical ceremony goes like this. You can just read along with me. The typical ceremony begins with the initiate. That's the one that is going into masonry. It begins with that initiate being first divested of his jacket and of his tie, and then any money or metal articles that he has. His left trouser leg, so in other words, his left pant leg, is then rolled up over his knee, and his shirt is open to expose his left breast. And his right shoe is removed and replaced by a slipper. And then the person who is to be initiated will have a blindfold put on him and a noose put around his neck. And that is called cable toe. The blindfolded initiate, this is what they called being hoodwinked. That initiate is brought with the noose around his neck to the outer door of the lodge. And you can kind of see this in this picture up here. Can you kind of see it? Oops. Let me put that back up there. Here's the initiate right here. You kind of see him there? He's blindfolded. He's got his shirt taken down to expose that area of his body. You all see that? And then his left toe, or his left thing, is rolled up. I guess it looks like it's this one here. But his knee, to expose his knee, and then a slipper put on his foot. Now, notice how all these guys are wearing this thing. You guys kind of see that apron on? Okay, they're all a part of that craft. We'll talk about what that means later on. Now, the candidate thus attired or dressed that way is said to be in darkness. Now, it's an allegory of the masonry that signifies that everyone outside of masonry is in darkness, and that only masons have the true knowledge that brings light into the world. The new mason is brought to the outer door seeking the light of the lodge. And there, the doorkeeper or the tiller will put a sword or a sharp point to his breast. Now remember, it's exposed, so poke him right here in his chest, and lead him into the lodge room where an altar sits at the center. The lodge members await the candidate in the darkness that surrounds the altar, which is lit from a single light above. Behind that altar sits a man called the Worshipful Master. He is the master of the lodge, and he presides over that whole initiation. When the initiate is brought before him, he bows before the Worshipful Master and says something like this: I am lost in darkness, and I am seeking the light of Freemasonry. He is then told he's entering into a secret organization, and that he must keep the secret he is going to be taught. Now, at this time, he's required to take a blood initiation oath. Every Mason who joins the lodge takes his thumb or his right hand to his throat and repeats an oath that has been repeated by every Mason who has joined the lodge. In the entered apprentice or first level of the Blue Lodge, this includes the following words. So whenever they're there, they're getting their thumb like this, and they're pretty much putting it like this, and they're going to do that symbol as if to cut their neck, their throat. This is what they say. This is at the first level. Binding myself under no less a penalty than having my throat cut across, my tongue torn out by its roots, and buried in the rough sands of the sea. It says when the new mason goes into the second degree or the fellow craft degree of masonry, the oath includes these words. It says, binding myself under no less a penalty than of having my left breast torn open and my heart plucked out and given as prey to the wild beasts of the fields and the fowls of the air. What do you all think about that? I mean, they're saying, man, some major oaths here. Then, when they enter into the Master Mason degree, every Mason must swear an oath that includes this statement: binding myself under no less a penalty than having my body severed in twain or in two, my bowels taken from there and burned in ashes. Now, Masons will tell you that there's nothing wrong in being a Christian and also being a Mason. When they are exposed to some of the anti-Christian secrets of Masonry, they may reply, well, those are just the higher degrees. We don't know anything about those things. I'm just the Blue Lodge, but that's just not true. And so what this is bringing out is some of the depths of some of the oaths that they take and the things that are happening within the lodge, those that are being initiated within the Blue Lodge and advancing within those degrees of the Blue Lodge. But they're binding themselves by these blood oaths. They're saying that I'm lost in darkness and I'm seeking the light of masonry. What do you all think about those statements? Should Christians make those kind of statements? Now, let's go forward here and ask some questions underneath this section, the message of the Bible, okay? The message of the Bible. The Blue Lodge Mason, now remember, those are the ones in the foundational level, who also claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, has to ask himself some basic questions. Number one, he's got to ask himself, how can I put a blindfold on, come before a man whom I call the worshipful master, and say I'm lost in darkness and in need of the light of Freemasonry? Should a Christian make that kind of statement? I'm lost, I'm in darkness, and I'm in need of the light of Freemasonry. Now, the Bible, obviously we know this, brings us a very different message about light and darkness, and it's one that brings with it hope and joy. Now, 1 John chapter 1, if you have your Bible, we can read it, or I'll read it for you. 1 John 1, verses 4 through 7 says this, "And these things write we unto you," this is the Apostle John speaking, "that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and walk in darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Now, what the scripture is clearly saying is that God is light. Amen? And that a Christian who is now a child of God is in his light. But if a person says that they have fellowship with him, and if they walk in darkness, then they lie and do not the truth. But it says if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship with him. Now, how can a Christian Mason, or those that are Masons and trying to mix with Christianity, how can a Christian Mason say he is lost in darkness and seeking to join the lodge because he needs the light of Freemasonry? The Bible says if you are a Christian and say that you are in darkness, you are living a lie, and the truth is not in them. Now, in Christ, if Christ lives in our lives, then we have the light. And so a Christian who is in the light goes before that worshipful master and says, I'm in need of the light of Masonry because I'm in darkness, is saying something that is totally contrary to his faith. In other words, he's denying his Christian faith. How many of you believe that? Those that would stand before that kind of scenario, before a worshipful master who isn't God himself, obviously, and makes such a statement, it's denying the faith that he supposedly professes. Number two, he should ask himself another question, which is this: if I'm going to join the lodge, how can I come before a man called the worshipful master and bow before him in a religious ceremony and say that I am lost in darkness? Now, Jesus said this: no man can serve two masters. Just impossible. That's totally not right. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, we know that scripture very well, and we know that that scripture is describing serving God and money, or world, the pursuit of money, or the worldly wealth. But it also is describing the fact of two masters anyways. And the person involved within the Masonic Lodge going before this worshipful master is in essence saying, I'm trying to serve God and this person, and I'm seeking him for light. And so Jesus said this, that we cannot serve two masters. We can't claim to be a follower of Christ and then bow before a man we accept as our worshipful master any more than we can bow before a Buddha. Have you ever seen those Buddha dolls? Should any Christians be bowing before those things? No, of course not. You know, I mean, that's ludicrous. We know that's not right. But it's also the same for anyone that would seek to find light in Masonry and bow before a worshipful master. Number three, a third question they need to ask. It is this: how can a Christian take a blood oath? How can a Christian make this kind of oath? How can a man who says he's a follower of Jesus Christ swear to have his throat cut from ear to ear and his bowels ripped open and given to the beasts in the field as a penalty for breaking such an ungodly oath? Now, most Masons respond by saying that these oaths are just some kind of spooky college fraternity type stuff that means nothing. But in the fifth chapter of the book of James, we're warned this, and this is what it says, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not." In other words, don't make these oaths. "Swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea and your nay nay, lest you fall into condemnation." James 5:12. The scripture tells us not to make oaths, much less a blood oath, giving the symbolism of ripping the bowels or cutting the throat and what have you. God's word says that the penalty for taking Masonic oaths is condemnation. It's condemnation. Now, God isn't amused by what they're doing. He absolutely forbids taking these pagan blood oaths of masonry. God isn't just sitting around just letting people and laughing at what they do. I mean, God is a good God, isn't he? And he's not compromising his standards. He's not looking at these people doing these things and just saying, "Oh, it's okay, you know, let them do what they want to do." No, he's given us in his word standards to keep. And these standards are something we must not take lightly. Amen. We as Christians must live according to God's word and have good old-fashioned conviction in our hearts and lives. You know, nowadays in Christianity, there seems to be no conviction anymore. It seems like anything goes. But we must read the word of God. We must pray and let God instill within our hearts some good conviction so that we know we're not going to go and do these kinds of things. Let's go forward. The next one to see. What is it that must be kept so secret? What is it that's happening within Masonry? Why is it that the Masons are required to take these pagan blood oaths of secrecy, not to reveal the secrets of Masonry even before they are told what they're to keep secret? So it makes you wonder, what are they trying to do? Now, these secret organizations, these kinds of things that we are looking at here, has a lot of history to it. The Masons and Masonic Lodge has been around for quite a while. A lot of our presidents of the United States of America, have been Masons. How many of you know that? The beginning, I mean, it's very interesting. Some of the things that you look at, when you look at the opposite side of your dollar bill and you see that pyramid and the all-seeing eye in the top, right? And you see the number 13 all around. Maybe it's for the 13 original colonies, possibly so. But when you see those symbols of the pyramid or the all-seeing eye, or you see some of the different symbols of the lodge, you're seeing the beginnings of a lot of things, and it's there, and we're carrying it all around us. We don't even realize it sometimes, their origins. Now, I don't want to get too much into conspiracy theories. Believe you me, I mean, you can get so far into those things that you begin to think that the government is only out to destroy you, and you're kind of living in this world that you don't know what's going to happen next. And so we're not going to go there. I've been there, and the Lord convicted me and said, "Stop it." Huh?
It's not a good time.
No, it's not a good time. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. But there is some interesting things. The foundation of the capital of the United States of America, there in Washington, D.C. Check it out tonight on Google Earth. Go to Washington, D.C., kind of zoom out and zoom in, and you'll notice some of the streets are actually facing, and there is an upside-down star in the way the streets are aligned there. You'll also see the actual symbol of the Masonic Lodge there on the streets. But you've got to be high enough, and you can see it on Google Earth or Google Maps. And it makes you wonder, you know, because we read of the history of George Washington, and, you know, there's some actually good things to say about George Washington, but we also know that he was one of these Masons. Now, am I going to say that it stains all of what George Washington was about? I'm not going to say that. You hear what I'm saying? But on the other hand, it's interesting when you consider some of the things that we have, and sometimes we wonder, why are those things there? Why are there pyramids? Why are there stars? What does that mean? And a lot of it actually comes from some of these Masonic symbols, and it's all there within the history of America. Now, for what it's worth, let's move forward here. Like I said, I don't want to get too far into the Illuminati. Have you ever heard of the Illuminati? Some of that Illuminati stuff is very, very much, how do you say, a part of this Masonic and Freemasonry secret society, a kind of order, you know. And there is the understanding that there is some of that stuff out there in our world. And so, what are they trying to keep secret? Look at this statement here from Roland Blackmore. He's a Masonic scholar, and he states this: "It's a lamentable fact that the mass of our membership," he's talking about all those within the lodge, "are ignorant of everything connected to Freemasonry." In other words, they have no clue about the depth, should I say, of darkness that is within the craft. Some of them don't even know the reality of what they're involved in. Steinmetz, who was another Masonic scholar, said this: "Most of the truly great Masonic writers have deplored the lack of esoteric Masonic knowledge among the craft in general. He says, the average Mason is lamentably ignorant of the real meaning of the Masonic symbols and knows as little of its esoteric teachings." Now, what does esoteric mean? Esoteric, if you want to circle that, for in case you don't know what it means hard teachings or hard to understand. Esoteric, or in other words, again, hard to understand, confusing, could even mean hidden or secret. So they don't even understand the hidden meanings of what those symbols are representing. And so the scholars of the craft are just showing how ignorant those involved within Masonry really are. And so it's very interesting. What are they hiding? What is really within the depths? And again, the question is, should Christians be involved in this? Should Christians become a part of the Masonic Lodge? If their friend is telling them, let's go ahead and hang out, come on, there's a bunch of guys, we like to get together there at the lodge, should they become a part of that? Now, there's a lot of secret things that they do. How many? There's secret handshakes that they have. You hold the hands a certain way and you do these secret handshakes. Some of them have certain kinds of allowances, you know. A fellow lodge member is a policeman. Some of them will allow them to get away with things just because they're a part of, and they're a part of that brotherhood. Kind of get what I'm saying here?
The VFW
is that's part of the Veterans Affairs, isn't it? Part of more like the Veterans, is that what it is? I don't think it's the same thing.
How about the Rotary? Because I was asked to be in the Rotary Club, but yeah. I see a lot of the people that were part of that were also a part of Masons.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the Rotary Club. I've never really heard that it's a part of the Masonic Lodge or that kind of. Has an element of darkness within it? I'm not sure. I know it's a club. I'm not sure if it has that element of darkness, but I can't answer like yay or nay. I'd like to. I got have to.
I remember not wanting to join it, but yeah. I remember somebody telling me, you know, why not? Because you know, because then you can have prestige, you know.
Yeah.
And that was like an honor to be asked, but it just didn't seem right to me.
I can understand.
And
that.
I always used to see these symbols even when I was younger.
Uh huh.
Thinking that this is satanic.
Yeah.
You know, when I see the upside down, you know, the star, the goat, whatever, everything that it symbolizes.
Yeah.
I used to see that and I think something's wrong with this, you know, but didn't know a lot of this, but just knew something was not right.
Yeah.
You know.
There's a lot of that secretive stuff. Now, the VFW, I don't think that's the same thing as like the veterans that gather together and have certain kinds of privileges or. I'm not sure even what goes on there, but I know it has to do with those that have been in the armed forces and now the veterans, you know, do the things.
Wars.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think it's different. You're going to say something else?
Yeah, the word Masonry, does that have anything to do with Masonry?
Well, I mean, it has some of the wordage from Masonry, like of course, stonework, those that kind of Masonry. I don't think it has anything to do with literal Masonry as far as building or that kind of thing. But it has a lot of the terminology of Masonry within the craft and the way that it describes itself, building this and doing that. Ultimately, what they're trying to build is not a structure, like I look at that stone wall there. What they're trying to build is actually a one-world government. They're actually headed in that direction. They want that kind of thing, you know, a one-world order, you know, a new world order, these kinds of things. So that kind of terminology is definitely among the Masons. And so interesting, very interesting stuff. Yeah? Well, it's a very wealthy organization. Yeah. And so they're good. They're all about good works, you know, they're trying to help people out. And it's not to demean what they're doing and as far as the good, but in regards to the intent or the darkness that's within, that's what we're trying to expose, you know, and should Christians be involved with that, you know. So
it kind of makes you wonder if it tied in any way with, like, the Ku Klux Klan and things like that.
Some of those things?
Because you almost see that,
yeah,
how it probably had something to do with it.
It's probably
a branch from something like this.
There you go. I mean, I believe it probably did. More than likely, because there's a lot of that secrecy, that symbolism. Some of even the symbols are
and
there.
It's always about religion. They yeah. say, you know, the burning the cross and stuff. There's always something to do with religion.
Exactly.
But it's just taking that all out of proportion.
Oh, definitely. I wouldn't think that it's not a part. I think it is somehow. I've never read in my studies yet that of a link, but I mean, it seems like there's definitely a similarity. There's no doubt about it.
Is there a religion that tends to be more Masonry, or is it all?
Well, they try to include all. I've heard that, like, a lot of in the South, you know, like there's a lot of Baptists that have a lot of Masons, you know, or a lot of the Methodists, you know. But that doesn't mean that they're all, like, you know, every Methodist is or every Baptist is, but a lot of these organizations have found maybe a comfortable place in some of those denominations. I'm not sure if there's been some within the Assemblies of God. I wouldn't know how to answer that. I would hope not. But, I mean, they're definitely within a lot of evangelical Christianity. But more the religious ones or traditional churches, I'm not sure within the Pentecostal ones. Mostly because we have classes like this. Hopefully we're teaching enough and exposing enough that couldn't find its way into our ranks. But very interesting. What do y'all think? Well, we'll stop there and we'll continue right from there next time. No, that's more within Roman Catholicism, the Knights of Columbus. But there is an element where that name is within the Masons, the Knights of Columbus. You've ever heard of the Knights of Templar? You know, that's also a part of Masonry. So there's different orders or different segments that take on those names. But I know, like, the Knights of Columbus, I think, more is from a Roman Catholicism kind of thing. But there is that...